All right. Well, last week, if you were here, if you haven't had a chance, I went back and was listening to the message a little bit, even though I don't like listening to myself. But I did go back to listen to a little bit to my message. But last week, I was talking about how we can't try Jesus, how Jesus isn't something that we just like try on like a pair of jeans or a food that maybe like, oh, I'm going to be adventurous today. We can't try Jesus. Jesus is intended to be in relationship with us. We're actually intended to be in reconciled relationship with God that is through Jesus. And so many times, as I mentioned, and maybe you've heard in your own experiences, people have been like, oh, I've tried Jesus before. Oh, I tried church. Oh, I tried and it didn't work. Again, I would encourage you, if you have some time, to go back and listen to that message, because it's more than just religion. It is something that requires something of us in relationally with him. And then honestly, I didn't talk about this at all, but relationally with one another, that's actually how we grow in our relationship with Christ. Isn't just by coming to church, isn't by just worshiping or reading our Bibles, but we actually grow in Christ as we grow in one another and in community. So we just can't try Jesus. It is really about learning to trust in the lordship of him, his lordship in our life. And sometimes that does require something through us, of us. But salvation at the end is a gift that is given to us that we get to participate in. And so I would encourage you to go back and listen. But we're going to just, and these are like, there is no way anyone could go in depth on a Sunday with any one of these things. So today we're just going to like lightly scratch the surface of why Jesus. Like, and when I mean like lightly scratch, it is literally like just a beep, beep, like not much. Because we can go into very long depth conversation about this. So I Googled how many like religions are there. That was just like my Google search. How many religions are there? And it said there's like 5 to 12 main religions. And then as I was kind of reading through the like Google like explanations and all of those pieces, it went on to say that there's upwards of thousands of various religions. But there's 5 to 12 main religions. But just think about that. And there's literally billions of people. Like, this isn't even an exaggeration. Billions of people, billions of Christians, billions of people. I don't know how many people there are on the earth, but I think 7 billion, 8 billion, something. Eight sounds about right. And so within that, there are people who believe all sorts of things. And so I've had this question about like, why Jesus? Why Christianity? When I think about Jesus, Jesus is the only person, the only religion that has it set up where it's flipped. Jesus came and died on the cross for us, and he gave so that we could receive and be in relationship with him. When you look at other religions, what they do is say, you got to be a better person. You got to do these things. You got to sacrifice. You got to like do all of this stuff. And then maybe you are worthy. Maybe you're qualified to whatever extent of heaven or afterlife or whatever it is that they believe, just maybe. But Jesus and Christianity, Jesus, it's the only place where we see the person in whom we worship actually gave everything so that we could worship him and be in relationship with him. You know, I haven't done a super deep dive into other religions for various reasons. But I know that when it comes to my faith, and I'm 43. I turned 43. I don't know. Once it just hits over an eight. I had a birthday, okay? Once you get to a certain point, and I'm finding that there's not much that can convince me otherwise that Jesus isn't real. There's things that I could never fully articulate in words, or my words and descriptions, or like how I could describe a scenario, I couldn't fully explain it. But what I do know, and what I do find, is that even today, these are just like little nuances that no one would even like like you could just be like, oh, that's just coincidence. But even as I was finishing up my message today, I went to go pull up the worship list, which Micah had sent us. And one of the songs that I wanted to sing was already a part of her set list. Like, and you guys can be like, oh, that's just coincidence. Like, she had no clue what I was talking about. I had no clue what she was going to be singing about. But when I went to go look at the songs, there was one. And it's just those sweet reminders that there's nothing concrete to that, right? Like, and someone could say, Susie, that's just coincidence. But when you begin to see how intricately Jesus goes and at what great length he goes so that we would know him, so we would experience him, so we would see him, it really then becomes a point where you either need to deny Jesus or accept Jesus. You know, one of my son's friends, one day we were in the car and he was just like, Suze, how do we know Jesus is real? And I'm like, driving. And I'm like, well, I mean, I wasn't, you know, sometimes does anyone ever ask you a question? You're like, I'm not quite thinking there and I should have an answer for you. And I don't really fully remember all of what we discussed, but this was what he actually came to the conclusion on his own. I think he was like a sophomore, junior. He said, Susie, what I realize is Jesus and Christianity is the only religion people will make fun of. It's the only religion people mock is Jesus and Christianity. And that leads me to think that there's just got to be something more to this than just another religion. And it got me thinking as I was preparing this message, it got me thinking, and the reason I'm telling this now, I don't know if I would make a good coach. I've never had the experience. My kids might say whether or not I'd be a good coach. We know Jay is a good coach. I always say Coach Jay is one of my favorite Jays. I don't know if I'd be a really good coach. I probably would just, I don't know. I don't think I'd be the greatest coach. But this is kind of one of those coaches meetings right now. If I had a coaches meeting, this is what I would do. I would sit us down and say, hey, we got to get some things figured out right now because where we're headed and what's going on, we got to have the right mindset here. We got to have the right perspective here right now because the times that we continue to see happening very quickly will either require us to be so focused that we don't get distracted or we're so distracted we can't get focused. And so there's so many nuances to so many places that will want to grab our attention, have us create doubt, all of these things. And so this is kind of my coach's meeting right now for us to say, all right, hey, we got to figure this out. There's people, we are living in a time where no matter what you say, you're something. Like you say one thing, then you must be this, you do this, you must be doing that. And it is exhausting to say the least. And so what I believe is the enemy, it says in scripture that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's literally what he's here to do. If he can distract you, he's gonna distract you. If he could steal from you, he's gonna steal from you. If he can destroy your thoughts, beliefs, or even you as a person, that is what his goal is to do. There is nothing about it. There is no, I had a conversation with someone, they were talking about some things that they were going to experience, and they knew that maybe there were some spiritual implications there about going to experience these things. And I'm like, why are we even playing with the dark? Like, why? This is not the time to be playing around with other things. How about I just say it? That is, there is so much, and we're going to read in scripture, there's so much that is calling to deceive us that if our eyes and ears aren't focused in on why Jesus, why am I a believer? Why do I believe what I do? I believe that at the very least, we will be taken out and separated. And the enemy always wants to come and separate. When you look at a pack of wolves, how do they hunt? They hunt for the ones that are the most vulnerable, whether it's because the animal's injured, because it's a baby. It is no different. And so what I want us to do is begin to just say, okay, we need to have some perspective here, because if we don't have any perspective, we can be all distracted, up in arms, and then completely dismantled or just like so consumed by one thing we forget the purpose. So John chapter 15, and this is Jesus, and Jesus is speaking to crowd, and he's talking about being in John, beginning of John 15, being in a part of him, being engrafted into the true vine. Then he goes on to talk about love, and then after he kind of paints this picture, he goes on, and this is where we're going to pick up. John chapter 15, chapter John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. This is Jesus talking. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law. They hated me without cause. Verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time will come that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they know, and these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And because of these things, I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. Sounds encouraging, doesn't it? Last week, you can't just try Jesus, take up your cross. This week is like, hey, if they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you. Happy Sunday. You know, it's not really something that we want to, that I would love to be up here and just give you this like fluffy, beautiful, encouraging, but this message is encouraging, I promise. But here's what we're saying. Jesus is saying, he's letting them know, I'm telling you these things so that you do not stumble. His attention is, hey, I'm letting you know of what's to come, so when the time comes, you're not caught off guard. They hated me, they're going to hate you. They didn't know me, they're not going to know you. I'm telling you this so that you are not caught off guard. See, we serve a Savior who not only gave everything for us in the moment of choosing to die, before he's doing that, he's making sure that his message to us is very clear. That his message to those who were there was very clear. Don't be caught off guard when people don't like you because of who you serve. Don't be caught off guard when they mock you or make fun of you because of what you believe. Know this, that the Holy Spirit is coming, who will also testify of me. See, Jesus warned his disciples so we wouldn't be caught off, so they wouldn't be caught off guard. And we know later in scripture that in the moment when Jesus is walking through and he's going to be crucified, they scatter, they leave him, they abandon him, right? Because the pressure of not being liked, the pressure of potential persecution, the idea that you could lose your job over this, you could lose a scholarship over this, you could, whatever it might be, whatever is most valuable to you, that following Jesus might cost you something. And he's saying, hey, I'm letting you know beforehand. I'm letting you know they rejected me, they will reject you. And the good news in this is that we're actually not even rejected. See, the one who died, the creator of the universe, I always think this, like I think about God and how he put everything in motion and still yet knows my name, still knows the intricacies about me. That in like the beautiful, magnificent, like sunsets, you know, when the sky is like cotton candy color, that fire color that just like wows you, that his thoughts towards me are even greater than that. That in all of the beauty of what he created, He created me. He created you. And so I say all that to say that we've been given the gift of salvation. We've been given the gift of salvation. Here's what he's not saying. Jesus isn't saying, you must suffer to earn my gift of salvation. He's saying, you're gonna suffer because of who you serve, but rest assured, I have overcome the world. See, other religions will put you into a place of suffering to make sure that you have done what you've done, do enough to obtain whatever you're trying to obtain. And Jesus is saying, no, here's what's actually going to happen. You're probably going to suffer for my name's sake, but just know I have overcome the world. There is a difference in between the suffering. There is a difference in between all of this. So why Jesus? We just proclaimed it. I don't know if you guys realized as you were singing, all of the songs had kind of a theme. The songs were all about the name of Jesus. All of them. She didn't know I was going to talk about Jesus, but as I was worshiping, I was thinking, yes, scripture tells us that Jesus, your name is above every other name. And here we are proclaiming this morning together in unity, worthy is your name. Be lifted high. I don't know. I don't know if anyone heard, but Micah said to sing, and I was the only one that sang. I don't read the verse. And I just looked up and just thought, thank goodness I am in the front. Anyways, right now we're living in a time where anything we say or do can be taken out of context. We're living in a time where people can be easily offended. And I believe that the Lord wants us to get our attention on what we're doing and our focus on him and to work out, why do I believe in Jesus? Why do I serve Jesus? Why does this matter to me? Because it's going to matter at a point, and you have to decide, God, you can be trusted, or I don't trust you enough. As I said, Jesus says it at the end of chapter 16 of John. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Isn't this amazing that he's saying, hey, look, there's going to be trials and tribulations that you walk through. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be problems you walk into. But let me tell you, I have come so that you may have peace. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, there is a promise of hope that's found that even though everything is happening around us, our hope is that we would be so locked into him that we would not be offended by the world around us. Because if someone doesn't know Jesus, why would we expect them to do anything different? If someone doesn't know your rules of your house, of how to engage, why would we expect them to do anything but what they already know? As I mentioned last week, in our house, we don't really take off our shoes. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. It's not a thing for me, but there's some people who will come in and say, hey, is it okay if I go upstairs and with my shoes on? I'm like, yeah, like, no problem. And there's some people who will automatically come in and just take off their shoes and just walk into the house, right? They just know. So sometimes I think we have these thoughts of what people should know or behaviors that the world, people who don't know Jesus, we expect them to have these expectations and these behaviors of knowing something, but why would they do any different? See, in scripture, you read that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew the law. They knew the ways of doing stuff. And yet, even with Jesus in their presence, they missed that Jesus was there. Even with Jesus in the presence, they ended up persecuting and him dying on a cross with everything that they knew. We have to be reminded that we can be in peace, and not only in peace, but be in good cheer. Be of good cheer. Just think about that. It's not just saying walk in peace. It's saying be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. I have overcome every situation that you are walking through. I have overcome the world. Doesn't mean we don't have to walk through it, but it does matter how we position ourselves to receive from him. You know, there is a lot, and I talk about this a lot, maybe because I just feel the pressure of life and life sometimes being a lot. And I realize that the most times that I feel like I'm spinning the most is when I've lost my perspective of who is in control. And when I mean that he's in control, I mean that as things are happening, I'm locked in on him. I'm listening for his voice. I'm reading scripture with an expectation that he's going to speak to me through his word. When we read, and you can say, well, I don't know. You're saying, why Jesus? I don't know that I've ever heard him speak. It's because you don't know his voice. You know, for some of us, if I were to, and I've said this before, if I call my kids' names, if we're in Target, we're somewhere busy, right? And I'm like, hey, Micah, he would know my voice. But if I were to just, and he would be like, oh, my mom, like he would know it's me. And there's some people that would know it's me, but I guarantee there's other people I would yell out, hey, Taylor's a bad example, but right? There's other people in this congregation I would yell out your name and you would be like, who's calling me? Who knows my name in here? It's unfamiliar. See, that's the same thing with Jesus is when we read scripture, it's actually to also learn his voice. It's to learn the nuances of who he is. You know, as we've been talking, as I'm talking about why Jesus. See, the reality is everything is an invitation. I've realized this. Our relationship with Jesus is always an invitation. He's not going to just supersede. He's after us. He's searching for us. He loves us. There's things in great lengths he will go to let us know, but everything is an invitation. Psalms chapter 118, verses 1 through 9. He invites us to call out to him. Jesus, as we said, is the name above every name. But Psalms 118, verses 1 through 9 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put our confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put our confidence in princes. See, Jesus' name carries weight. When we call out to him, and it requires us to call out to him, not think it out, but when we call out to him, it says, he answers me. I called to the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me. That is great news. As even Jay was talking today during worship, he was saying, let's call out to the Lord for those who don't know him yet. Let's call out to the Lord for those who we are praying for. Let's call out to the Lord. That's what we're doing. We're calling out to him in distress, in battle, in walking through circumstances, because he is the name above any name. And when we call out to him, it matters. He moves on our behalf. We position ourselves and we say, okay, Lord, I need to hear you speak. I need to see you move. Lord, I need to feel your peace. What's going on? That's how we begin to call out to him. Now, it's really important to say, Jay and I, long time ago, were youth pastors here at this church, and it was a great time. We love all of the youth who are now old. they are now like in their 20s, mid-20s. How old, Zach? Yeah, okay. So some of them are probably almost in their 30s, or maybe in their 30s. So Jay and I have these youth who we love. And one of the things I love about social media is that we get to see, like, their lives, what they're doing, where they're at, all of this fun stuff. Jay and I loved being youth pastors. It was a great time. So, and we've not ever changed our phone number. So if they have our number, it is not uncommon for them to reach out to us. And so one day, one early, early morning, I think he texts me at like 2 or 3 in the morning. I think he texts Jay and I. I always sleep with my phone on. So I get this text from one of our former students, and he's kind of in this panic. And he said, "Susie, Jay, I need you guys to pray for my friend. He's having a really hard time. I don't actually know what's going on to him." Well, my phone went off, and so I began texting him at 2:30 in the morning and asking him for his name and trying to understand the situation. And so I pray for him, and I said, "Hey, let's connect later today," or, you know, not at 2:30 in the morning, and let's just hear what's going on. Well, his friend was walking through a very serious situation. He was talking about taking his life. I mean, it was very traumatic. He was doing these like Instagram live videos, and it just was, there was just like demonic spiritual stuff at its core was really what was happening. And something that I remember this young man, our former youth student, saying, he keeps calling out to God, and nothing's happening. And so we just said, "Well, what God is he calling out to? What does he even believe?" And the reason why that matters is what I've come to determine is just because someone says spirit or God, we may not be talking about the same thing. There are plenty of conversations that I've had that I thought we're using the same language, but your understanding and my understanding are not the same thing. And this young man didn't believe in God. And so he was just calling out to the gods. It matters. You know, we see in scripture in the Old Testament that from the beginning of time, there has been sorcery and witchcraft and all of this stuff. You read the story of Moses. Sorry, I was trying to think of his name. And, you know, you see this where he's going to Pharaoh and he's saying, "Let my people go." And they're having these people go head to head, you know, with their sorcery and with the true and living God. And you're seeing some person who's doing the magic and one person who's performing, and God is not performing, but God is moving on his behalf. What we have to understand is God does not equal God. God does not equal salvation for some people, and we have to understand that, because in Philippians 2:9, and I've been saying this already plenty of times, but there is only one name that is above every name. There is only one name that's above every name, and it's so important that if we don't walk away from anything from this, that we walk away from this. There is only one name above any other name, and that is the name of Jesus. It says in Philippians 2:9, "Therefore God has highly exalted him," Jesus, "and given him," Jesus, "the name which is above every name, that the name of," and "at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those of earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father, of God the Father." We need to understand that in these last days, that when we are calling out, we are calling out on the name of Jesus, because Jesus is the only name that saves. Jesus is the only name that brings healing. Jesus is the only name that brings joy, that brings breakthrough. And I'm here to declare it is only Jesus. That when people are talking about the mysticism and the energy and all of that stuff, no, every name, the only name, that anything that has authority over anything in your life is the name of Jesus. Any circumstances that you're finding, that you're facing in, if you are experiencing, and this is not in my notes, if you are experiencing any torment, any bad dreams, anything like that, number one, we want to pray over you. But other than that, you can know that in your bedroom, if you're starting to feel, oh, there's yucky. I call it the yucky. Like all of a sudden I'll just wake up and I'll have chills in my body. And I'm like, okay, what is either trying to come through or what's happening? And I begin to get up and I pray and I say, like, no weapon formed against our family will prosper. And in the name of Jesus, whatever's trying to come in here, I bind you. You have no place. You have no authority. When you're feeling anxious, you can say, in the name of Jesus, anxiety be gone. Peace be released. Because the name of Jesus, we just read that it says, I have overcome the world. Be at peace. So it doesn't mean we don't have these situations we walk in. It says when we're walking in these situations, the name of Jesus is the name above every other name. And we see it over and over and over in Scripture. And I'm here to remind you, we need to be people who choose to say, but Jesus, but Jesus, but Jesus, that we would stir ourselves up when we are in the place of temptation, but Jesus. Jesus, you have overcome the world. Help me to overcome this place of temptation. Help me to overcome this place of addiction. Help me overcome this place of hiding. What we need to understand is that Jesus is the only way. There are going to be people out there, and I didn't put it in my notes. In 2 Timothy, it talks about in the last days that they will, hold on, I'm going to pull it up because I did not put it in here. 2 Timothy. Anyways. In Scripture, I think it's in 2 Timothy, it talks about that in the last days, people will find doctrine that they'll go away and satisfy their itchy ears. Oh, here it is. It is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, and he says this. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For there will come a time where they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, enduring affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. I'm telling you, there is a time that we are in, where if there is something you don't agree with what I say, what I don't like, you will be able to find someone who agrees with you. But I'm going to tell you that this is not about fables. Jesus is real. He is coming back. There is none like him. And it's only in the name of Jesus that we must be proclaiming that we will actually see things change and breakthrough come. Every place you go, if you're walking in a situation, into an interview, oh, Heavenly Father, I call out to you. We have to be people who use our mouth, like declare out loud. We have to be people who say, the enemy likes to keep us quiet. Like, oh, I'll just think it in my head. Oh, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want anyone to think bad of me. No. We walk. We get to walk in the boldness in the name of Jesus, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess in heaven and earth at the end of time that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if we're not proclaiming it now, there will be people who will wish we proclaimed it. We need to be people who proclaim the name of Jesus, because there is no other name other than his name. And everything must come in alignment with his word. There is none like Jesus. Don't be people who fall. If you have questions, like, is this on the edge of, like, whatever, just come talk to us. Let's have a conversation. I don't have all the answers. I'm going to say that. I might say, like, I don't know. I'm going to be really real. I don't know everything. So if you come to me, I really do try to just say, I don't know. Let's discover this together. Let's ask the Lord to show us. We have people in here who are seasoned people who have loved Jesus for a long time in your life, of their life. Come to them, ask them questions. But let's not be people who get caught up with the fables and the things that sound good. The crystals, right? Like that's a big thing right now. Oh, if you do this and we're going to put this on and then this is going to happen. There's things right now that sound so almost good. Like if you've heard this at all about manifestation, like you can just manifest whatever you believe. Just keep saying it. And what ends up happening is it hijacks the truth of the word of God. But it sounds good. And I'm not going to lie. Sometimes it probably works. Right? Because there are some scriptural precedents that the Lord has already said, but if it's not in alignment with God, it's witchcraft. Because there's only one name, and that's the name of Jesus. It's in his timing. It's in his goodness. It's in his mercy. I'm passionate about this because, number one, as I said, there's things that I've seen and I've experienced. There's things that I believe that the Lord wants to equip his church to kind of wake up on, including myself. Like, this isn't like, no, like, this is me too. There's things that he's given me in places I know that, like, he's put in my heart that requires me to get a little bit better in spiritual shape. I was talking to one of my kids yesterday, and I was saying when I was young, working out was never a priority, ever. Like, I got an F in PE, okay? I failed PE my freshman year of high school because in California, I literally failed PE because I refused to run around the track, okay? And my workaround was in California, you can use your, like, athletic stuff as your PE credit. So then I just became a cheerleader, and that was a little less exertion than having to, like, I just didn't want to change in, like, PE, whatever. Okay, so, like, ever since I was younger, like, working out was never a discipline that I valued, ever. And guess what? It's not a discipline I value now. Thank goodness my kids value that discipline and have very gracious conversations with Jay and I for other reasons, but it's not a value. I forgot where I was going with that. The name of Jesus. Getting in shape. There we go. We're at a place where we need to spiritually get in shape. And we've let some things just be because it just always has been. And we've let some things just fall by the wayside because, you know. But I believe as we are just reading in 2 Timothy, there's a time where right now, and you guys see it too. I'm sure you see it. I'm sure you hear it. We need to be wise of what's of the Spirit and what's not of the Spirit. And so it's important for us to understand this, why Jesus is, because his name is above every other name. And it is going to maybe get a little tough in some ways, in some places, but if I've learned anything from all three of my kids who are athletic and work out and do those things, is it just for a moment, right? If they can just get past that next rep, that one rep, they're just like, oh, I can't. And then they get past and they do one more two, right? If we can learn to be spiritually stronger, spiritually wiser, walk in the discernment of the Spirit, there's going to be times that we're going to feel like, oh, gosh, this is a tribulation that's happening, but I'm going to be of good cheer. I'm going to have peace, and I'm going to walk in. And the thing that's different than working out is that we actually walk. That it says in Scripture that Jesus has given us his name to walk in authority over those things. So we're not just walking in and it's like, oh, this is crashing. No, we can walk in places and the atmosphere can change because the Spirit of the living God lives within us. And he wants to work in us and through us. It's not so he can stay in us. It's so he can walk through us. So that when all of a sudden, and I think I've shared this story before, I'm getting like I was getting this like technique done on my back after an adjustment, and I'm face down, and this woman out of nowhere, I have no clue how she got on this on-ramp, just is like, starts telling me about all these, like this psychic she went to. And I was so caught off guard because I was like, again, in a very vulnerable spot. They're like, my head is down. They're like, you know, doing pulsating things on my back. I don't even fully remember. I was at the chiropractor. Anyways, and I just thought, man, she just got there. She just went there. And so the Lord wants us to be people who just, without criticism, we just read that it says, convince with long suffering, rebuke. Now, I knew it was not for me to be like, you are wrong. That was not that. But there is a place where we would be spiritually discerning of this. What is the Lord saying right now? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be silent and just listen? Am I supposed to say something? And it's not mysticism. It's walking in the promise that it says that he's given us the Holy Spirit in his last day to guide us and to teach us and to lead us. So why Jesus? We're going to end with this Hebrews chapter 7. I have a really hard time sometimes just like taking out verses. I feel like I'm cheating or something. So then I'm like, ugh. So we're just going to read, chapter 7, verse 20, and we're going to go on to verse 6 of chapter 8. And as much as he was not made priest without an oath, Jesus, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are the priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So I'm going to pause there. In Old Testament scripture, in Old Covenant, there was priests who would come before, and it's going to talk about this here, and they just had priests. And you were the priest, and now Jay, as the priest, is going to come on behalf of all of us. He's going to bring a sacrifice, but he'd only get so close to the Holy of Holies. And so here the author is saying, okay, now look, we have a new priest, not like Catholic priests as we think, but we have a priest who's up on high, who was not, it was not by with an oath. Obviously, it was because of what he did. Verse 22, by so much more, Jesus had become the surety of a better covenant. A covenant is an exchange. A covenant is saying, in the old days, we don't do covenants now. In the old days, it says, okay, I'm going to take you, you and I are going to be in covenant. That's actually what marriage is a covenant, right? As I'm looking at Jay. We're going to be in covenant together, and we're going to take the good and the bad. But with Jesus, he says, I'm going to take all of your weaknesses, and I'm going to give you my strength. And all of the places that you were sinning, when he died on the cross, he took all of our sin that had yet to come. That's why he died on the cross, so there could be an exchange of accessibility to our Heavenly Father. Before we had to go through these steps, now we can just pray, as we read in Psalms, and say, oh Lord, would you meet me here? Jesus, I need you right now, right? That's when Jesus died. That's what he did for us, was give us full access. But he, verse 24, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, so asking Jesus to come into their life, since he always lives to make intercession for them. When we talk about why Jesus, and we're going to read this right now, so I'm going to spoiler, he's up in heaven making intercession. That means he's making prayer for you and I. Tell me what other religions their gods do that. None. The answer is none. Verse 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice for his own sins and then for the other people's sins. For this he did once, for when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as a high priest men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now, this is the main point, guys. That's literally what the scripture says. I chuckled when I read it. This is the main point. Now, this is the main point of these things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty, who is God in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifice. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also has something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, who serves the copy and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was able to make a tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to this pattern of the mountain. So basically he's saying, look, the priests before, they had all of these things they had to do, but now Jesus doesn't have to do anything. Now because of Jesus, things change. But now he obtained a more excellent ministry, as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. That was a lot of words. but a lot of the words to say, why Jesus? He's the one who established a covenant for us so we could experience his presence here on earth. He made the ultimate sacrifice for anyone who was willing to receive. He's not wanting anyone. There's no the only sacrifice, and we're going to end with the song in just a moment, but the only sacrifice that we get to do on this side of earth, I mean, there's moments we'll have to sacrifice, but the only offering we get really to give is our worship. Just think about that. They went from having to get these perfect spotted lamb or these perfect lambs with no spot on them. They had to go to the priest to come. And now we get to just enter in and worship. That is our sacrifice. That is our offering. That's the one thing we can give here on earth. When we come together and we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we're not just like singing songs as a concert. We're offering up an offering. We're offering up our offering to him that says this is a sweet fragrance to him. See, we now serve a God who we've always served a God, but we serve a God who is saying, I want to give you something so much better than anything you could ever do on your own to earn. That is why we choose Jesus. That is why Jesus, again, just a little scratch of the surface, is the only true God. Jesus is alive and he is a mediator for us. He came so we could have a new covenant. When you have a chance on your own, you should write down Psalms chapter 71, verses 1 through 6. Take some time to read it. You could read through Psalms all day. Those are songs. Those are people's heart cries out to God. But what we're going to do in this moment, we're going to just sing the last song. The last one. We're switching up to the last song. And what I want us to do is in this moment, is we're just going to sing out to the one whose name is above every other name. And it's okay if you're uncomfortable. I am going to ask that you, well, we're going to all stand and just realize that we're not singing to a statue. We're not singing to someone that's requiring something of us, but desires and longs for us to experience him through worship. So I'm going to ask you guys all to stand. I'm going to pray over us, and then when we're done, I will have a benediction. But also during this, after this time, if you need prayer, if you have never accepted Jesus into your heart and you want to, we would love for you to come up and have a conversation with us. So we're going to sing the song. I will pray a benediction, and then I want to encourage you after to come up for prayer if you.